Alrighty.
Okay, you guys are going to love me today. I'm going to be the greatest preacher ever. This is like a 30-minute beautiful, like, sermon this morning. You're going to love it. And it's going to be great. So we are in the This Is Us series. This is the final segment of our 5-part series. Over the next 2 weeks, we will be sharing some vision that falls in line with this, but today is in fact our last one, speaking about the 5 principles of what we believe it is to be a Christian. These are the characteristics that form our Christianity. Who can remember them with me? It was being was the first one. Being is about rooted in God's love. It's about a relationship with Jesus. Then it was forgiving. Forgiving is all about receiving that forgiveness for us so that we can then go and forgive others. Who of you know that a lot of people need forgiveness? Hallelujah. Okay. Then we move on to serving. Jesus was our prime example and what it means to be a servant. Last week we spoke about giving. We said it was good to save. Remember that. How are you doing with that? So by the way, I did not do well this week with saving, but I am pushing ahead, ladies and gentlemen. I will save one day. And then today is going. The final principle of what it means to be a disciple is going. And when we speak about going, what we are speaking about is sharing the gospel, sharing our story, sharing with others the good news of what it is that Jesus has done in our lives. Jesus actually says this in the Gospels. He says that we need to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, is what the Bible tells us. So God expects us, He asks us, He calls us not to do anything other than to simply share the good news of what it is He has done in our lives with other people. And believe it or not, statistics have shown that this is actually the hardest step for people. People really struggle with sharing the gospel with other people. And I believe that the reason we struggle is because of fear. There's all kinds of fear connected to sharing the gospel. And what I would like to do this morning is I'm going to look at one of the greatest evangelists of all time. It is a story in the Bible that is a beautiful story. It's one of my favorites. And I believe this morning that as we look at this story, as we look at this person, I am hoping that we can dispel some of the myths and we can see people actually get set free in some of these areas where they have been struggling or where they have been bound with fear. Amen? Amen. Let's get into this. Okay, so John chapter 4 verses 7 to 26. I'm going to be reading a lot this morning. There's a lot of scripture here. But man, this is just an amazing story. So sit back this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy this beautiful story out of the Gospels. John 4, 7 to 26. And it says this. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." This is amazing. Check this out. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again, but whomever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come right back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had 5 husbands and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah, when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Man, this is an incredible, incredible piece of scripture. And what we see is we see the Samaritan woman coming to the well, just minding her own business on her own little journey. And as she goes to the well to draw water, she encounters the promise that people had been waiting for thousands of years. Right there at the well, she encounters the Messiah. She encounters Jesus. And Jesus essentially reveals to this woman who he is. And I love this moment where we see this woman at the well, and we see how Christ in this moment, he has this way of essentially showing, drawing a picture between her thirst for water and her need for more in her own life. And as he speaks to her, he's essentially saying to her, woman, there are certain needs in your life that you will never be able to fulfill yourself. It doesn't matter how many times you come back to the well to draw water, there are certain things that you cannot fulfill in your own strength and in your own ability. What you need is you need living water. What you need is redemption. What you need is forgiveness. What you need is one touch from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's in this moment where this woman at the well experiences Christ. She experiences redemption, and it's this amazing moment. Now, I want to show you something this morning. And some of you were thinking, well, when he said that he was going to talk about the greatest evangelist, or one of the greatest evangelists of all times, he was obviously speaking about Jesus. But check what happens next. So this woman encounters Christ at her moment of need. Look at what happens next. John 4, verses 28 to 30. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Check what happens next. John 4:39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did, she said. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. This is an incredible story where this lady encounters Christ at the well. It's in this moment of desperate need. It's in this moment of feeling lost. It's in this moment of emptiness that the Messiah comes and reaches her right where she is. And it's right out of this experience where she goes and she turns an entire town upside down. I want to tell you this morning that God has a way of doing extraordinary things through very ordinary people. And it's an amazing story. So what I want to do today is, as I was reading this, I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and I'm hoping that as I answer those questions, some of your fears will be dispelled as we look at the story and as we look at it a little bit closer. So the first thing that sort of hit me when I read this account of the Samaritan woman at the well was, who was this woman? Who exactly was she? I mean, surely to goodness, if this woman had the ability to go and to turn an entire town upside down, she must have been a special person. She must have been somebody that did something right. She must have had some credentials behind her name to carry such influence. So this morning, I want to explore that a little bit, and let's find out who she was by looking at what she wasn't. Let's do that. Okay, so the first thing I want you to see here is the fact that she was, in fact, a woman living in a time where woman had no voice almost whatsoever. I want to tell you that as we read the story, I want you to understand that Christ reveals himself to a woman, and then this woman goes and she turns a town upside down. During a time where women did not have influence, during a time where women did not have a platform, during a time where women did not have a voice, I want to tell you this morning that the Samaritan woman was not a person of great influence, but she was just an ordinary person that got touched by the grace of Jesus. I want to say to you that I feel like sometimes with us, one of the things that holds us back from sharing our story is we feel like we need to be people of great influence. We feel like we need to be people that have a platform or that have a voice. And I know this because all these myths I'm going to dispel this morning is stuff that I've gone through in my own life. In my own life at times, I have refused to step out in faith and do what God has called me to do because I have felt like I haven't been successful enough yet, or I'm not influential enough yet. Yet we see an unbelievable picture of this lady stepping out and doing what God has called her to do, not because she's got influence, but simply because she encountered the influencer. Are you with me this morning? Second thing we see in the story is that she is a Samaritan woman. She is not Jewish. So what that means is that she is not a great theologian. This woman does not have every answer to every question in the history of the world. I firmly believe sometimes when it comes to us and when it comes to us sharing our faith, we seem to feel in our own minds that we need to have the answers to every question in the world before we can have a conversation with anybody. I want to tell you that she was not a person of great knowledge. She simply went and shared her experience. You do not need to be a theologian to be an effective witness for Christ. You do not need to have the answer for everything to be an effective witness for Christ. As a matter of fact, I speak to people all the time that insert their opinions into things that they know very little about. We are a culture of experts in things that we are not experts in at all, but that does not stop us from inserting our opinions into everything. So I want to say to you this morning, if we can insert our opinion into everything else, why not be bold enough to have certain conversations, even though we don't have all the answers? Next thing we see in this lady's life is that she is not perfect, right? She does not have a perfect life. As a matter of fact, as Jesus speaks to her, we find out and we see that she has gone through a whole saga of bad relationships and brokenness and desperation. She's not in a good place. She's not necessarily the person right now that has the answers to all of life's questions. She is an imperfect person. She doesn't have it all together, but God uses imperfect people to do amazing things. Amen. Man, I want to tell you, I think that this is one of the things that condemns me the most at times. There are times where I feel like I can't even dare to share my story with somebody else because I don't have it all together. I am not a perfect person. I make mistakes all the time. As a matter of fact, I don't think anything requires more faith than for me to stand on the stage every single Sunday, because I know the person that is up here should be a person that lives a perfect life, but I know myself all too well, and ladies and gentlemen, it is as imperfect as it can get. So the reality is that there are moments when I step onto this platform where it is not out of my perfection, it is out of his strength. It is when I am weak that he is strong. He is not looking for perfect people. He is simply looking for people that will make themselves available. Last but not least, this lady was not a lifelong believer. It's not like she had been a Christian for 50 years before she stepped out and spread the news of the gospel. As a matter of fact, literally as she encounters Christ, immediately out of that moment she goes and she changes an entire town. It happens straight out the gate. I want to say to you this morning that maybe you're a Christian and maybe it's fresh and maybe it's new for you. And maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, well, if I just remain a Christian for the next 20 years, maybe one day I'll be in a place where I can do something for God. I want to tell you right now that the longer you're a Christian, the less likely it is that you're going to do crazy stuff for God, right? God is looking for people that will do crazy things for him. And I'll tell you what, I did some crazy, You think I'm confused now. You should have seen me when I was 20. I was really confused, but God used me in powerful ways to do powerful things because I just didn't know any better. I just charged in and I did what I needed to do. I want to tell you, don't wait forever, but just be the person that makes yourself available. So who was this lady? What qualified her? What qualified her was one encounter with Christ at the well. It was one encounter. It was one moment when the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, came into her life and met her right in her greatest moment of need. It is in that moment that her life was changed forever. And I want to say to you this morning that the only requirement for you to be a witness for Christ is one experience at the well. It's one moment where he came and he rescued you in your deepest, darkest need. It is one moment where you experienced his grace, where you experienced his love. What is required to be a town-shaking, world-changer, history-maker is simply this one thing, and that is to have had an encounter with Jesus. If you've had an encounter with Jesus, you have a story. If you have a story, you are a dangerous person. Are you with me this morning? One encounter is all it took. Next thing I want to look at quickly this morning is this. What is it exactly that she did? What is it exactly that she said? I remember when I was about 20, 21 years old in South Africa, we had a team from the United States come out and they did like a 2-day seminar with us on the art and the gifting of sharing the gospel with people that don't know who Christ is. Man, I'll tell you what, it was 2 days. It was amazing. I got a gift bag at the end of it. It was a grand affair. Well thought out, well planned, well strategized. And I have to say to you this morning that if we're going to change a city, surely we've got to have a big grand plan, right? Surely we need to know exactly what we're going to say, how we're going to say it, and when we're going to say it, right? That's the way we do things. Check this out. Look at what she does. This is amazing. In the story, she has this experience with God, and what happens is the Bible says she leaves her water jar behind, and she goes right back to the town that she just came from. So what was her big strategy? Her big strategy was to go right back to her life. Right back to the place that she'd been doing life every single day. She leaves the water jar behind, and I feel like it's such a beautiful symbolic moment where she leaves behind the old needs and the old fears and the old things that used to hold her back. She leaves the old life behind, but then she goes straight into the town where she does life, and it is in her day-to-day, everyday life where she experiences people at the well. I want to say to you this morning that there are people waiting at the well all over your world. All over your world. They're at Publix. They're at Walmart. They're definitely at Walmart. I mean, some of them are at Target, maybe a little less. Who just goes to Target and walks around in Target? I do sometimes. I feel better about my life just walking through Target. But there's people everywhere, wherever you go. And take it from me this morning, as a guy that's moved across the country, a guy that's moved across the world, I want to tell you that it doesn't matter where you go, you find people that are in desperate need of God's wonderful love and God's beautiful grace. It doesn't matter where we go. You don't have to go far to find it. You simply need to have eyes that are open, ears that can hear. You simply need to be in a place where you can see people for where they're at. They're everywhere. And the Bible says that this woman goes back to her old life. She goes back to the town where she was. And as she goes back to the town, she says this. And this is beautiful this morning. She says one thing, and I'm going to break it up into two pieces. But the first thing she says is, come and see. Come and see. Come and see this man that told me everything about myself. Come and see. Man, I really want to encourage you this morning that the most effective way to reach people is to not act like we're the moral police of the world. Amen? We are not called to be police officers. We are called to be tour guides. We are called to simply invite people on the journey that we have been on to experience the grace, the love, the mercy, and the freedom that we have experienced. As we say to people, hey, listen, come on the journey with me. Come and experience what I've experienced. I believe you're going to see people be so curious. I believe you're going to see people want to come on the journey with you. Here is the reality this morning. Every single one of us sitting in this place at one time or another had that void on the inside of us. We know what it's like to live God, to live life without God's love and without God's grace. So because we know that, and because we know that Jesus is real, this thing does not have to be complicated. It's as simple as saying to somebody, come and join me on my journey. Come and see the things that I have seen, and come and experience the things that I have experienced. Man, I want to tell you that one of the easiest come and sees is to invite people to church. Just invite people to church. Some of you are sitting here and you're going, well, it was easy for her to invite people to come and see because Jesus was at the well. If Jesus was on the stage, I would absolutely bring people to experience him. I want to tell you that the church is Christ. We are his body. We are his hands. We are his feet. And on a Sunday morning when we get together, man, we love one another and we serve one another and we worship and we praise and we preach. And it's all about painting a picture of who Christ is, who Jesus is. I want to challenge you this morning that the easiest way to evangelize is to simply say to people, come and see, come and experience, come and join me at church on a Sunday morning. Man, I have seen God take some of the weirdest people, some of the hardest people, some of the people that I thought he would never be able to reach. I've seen them come to church. I'll never forget when I was in South Africa one time, I brought a friend to church. He was such a tough guy. I played rugby with him. He was the toughest dude ever. And I bring this guy to church and we're in worship and we're busy worshiping. And at one point I look around and I look at this dude and he is bawling his eyes out. Like, I mean, he is just sobbing. And he looks over at me and he's like, bro, I'm gonna kill you. I'm like, what did I do? He's like, what is happening to me? I don't know what's happening. I can't stop crying. I feel like I'm melting. Like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm sorry, bro. That's on me. That's just God's presence touching your life. I don't know what to tell you. It's amazing what happens when we invite people to come and see. The next thing that she does, and I love this, is she says to the man, she says to the people, she says, come and experience, come and see a man who told me everything about myself that I never knew or that he never knew. It's this amazing moment where she makes it about her personal experience. Man, if we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves in the trap of wanting to have big arguments with people about all kinds of things. I have lots of people in my family that are atheists, and I love a good argument. I love a good debate. So one of the things that happens with me often is I will find myself in these long debates about Genesis and the Ark and Noah and Revelations. And you find yourself in these big arguments about these big scientific things. And I want to say this to you. You can argue about a lot of things, but nobody can argue you on your experience. Nobody can take that from you. If it's your experience, it doesn't matter what anybody else's experience has been. Your experience is the thing that matters. And I feel like if we would just get to a place where we go to people and say, look, here's the deal. I am simply going to share with you what my personal experience has been. When we do that, it is powerful. If I tell you that a movie I watched is scary, it doesn't matter if you did not think the movie was scary. Doesn't matter. I thought it was scary, right? It doesn't matter if nobody in the world thought the movie was scary. If I think it was scary, that is my experience. The Notebook terrifies me. I will never watch it again. I don't care if you liked it. It terrified me, right? It doesn't matter because it's my experience. Let's get to that place where we go to people and we simply share our story and we invite them to experience it with us. Listen to this. Revelations 12 verse 11 says this. They triumphed over him, this is the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. There is power in your story. There is power in your story. And I want to say to you this morning that if we would simply put ourselves in positions where we would share our stories of freedom, our stories of redemption with people, simply invite people to come along, to come and see, to come on the journey with us. It doesn't matter if you're not a theologian. It doesn't matter if your life's not perfect. It doesn't matter if you're just a normal person. God has the ability to use us in a mighty way. All we need to do is make ourselves available. Why did she do it? Why on earth did she share the gospel? Why did she go out of that moment and do what she did? I believe this morning, and it's so interesting when you read the story about the Samaritan woman, at no point does Jesus say to her, I want you now to go tell everybody what I did in your life. At no point does he say that. He touches her life and she gets up and out of herself she goes and she shares with everybody what she had experienced. I believe this morning that when she shares, she doesn't do it out of compulsion, but she does it out of compassion. It is out of a heart of compassion for other people that she goes and she shares her story. And I want to end with this morning. I want to close with this. I believe that this is one of the reasons we struggle so much when it comes to sharing our faith is we want to take responsibility for the results, right? We want to take responsibility for what happens when we share our story and when we share the gospel with others. I want to say to you this morning that it is not your responsibility to save people. It is simply your responsibility to share your story of what God did in your life. The results belong to Him. It's His results. It's our responsibility to share our story. It's God's responsibility to change theirs. Are you with me? If we do the speaking, God will do the reaching. Amen? He's the one that does it. He's the one that moves. He's the one that takes responsibility. And man, I want to tell you, so often when I speak to people, they'll say things to me like, man, just wish the Holy Spirit would move. Just wish we would see God do cool things in the church. I want to tell you that if you will put yourself out there, the Holy Spirit is the ultimate witness for Jesus. Nobody is a greater witness for the Messiah than the Holy Spirit. But He needs at times a mouthpiece. So when we put ourselves out there and we simply see the need and we see the hurt and we reach people with compassion and we say to people, hey man, I'm not trying to change your life for you. I am simply trying to invite you on the journey I have been on. I'm simply asking you to come with me and to experience what I've experienced. When we do that, you will see the Holy Spirit move in ways that you never thought was possible in your life. It's this amazing thing. Listen to this quickly this morning. Luke 12, verses 11 to 12 says this. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say. It is a matter of trust. It's a matter of faith. But I promise you, as we put ourselves in the position, He will fill our mouths and He will say the words that we need to say. I'm going to close with a story today. I was 19 years old at the time, 20, 19 years old. Our church had this program where we would actually go visit people at their houses if they visited the church. So, I mean, this was aggressive, right? So you would come to our church for a visit. The Thursday night, I would be at your door knocking, going, surprise, you visited the church. Here I am visiting your house. I mean, it was super aggressive. And I was about 19, 20 years old. I didn't know much about anything. I just knew that Jesus had changed my life. And one Thursday night, they sent me out to this place to go knock on one of the doors. And I did. And I was supposed to meet up with a man. And the door opens up. And it was the craziest thing I had ever seen. What was happening is that this house was filled up with a whole bunch of different families from all over Africa that had been renting this house. And you literally had a situation where families were living in rooms. So I walk into this house expecting to see one man, and there was like 30 people in this house. So I'm like 19, 20 years old. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I walk into this place. It is just absolute chaos. I find the man that I was looking for. I sit him down. I go, look, do you mind if I just tell you my story? That's all I want to do. I just want to tell you about Jesus. I just want to tell you about this God that has radically changed my life. The man sat down and he started listening to me. And the longer I kept talking, the more people just started coming out of their rooms. One by one, people started coming out of their rooms. And before I knew it, we had like 20 people sitting on the floor as I was sitting on this can, literally, not the can. So let that not be lost in translation. It was like a paint can that I was sitting on, just sharing my story. And by the end of the evening, when I said to the man, listen, can I pray for you? Do you want to receive Christ into your life? Is it okay if you and I say a prayer together? He said yes. And when I asked, every single person in that room said, yes, we want to pray with you. And it was in that moment where a one-on-one coffee meeting turned into a Billy Graham revival session. Hallelujah. Here I was, a 19, 20-year-old, I don't know whether I was coming or going, preaching the gospel to one guy on a Thursday night. And 20-something people ended up giving their lives to Christ. I don't even know what I said that night. I just know that there were moments in that conversation where I felt myself being lost completely, and I felt Him taking over, taking control, putting words in my mouth, leading me and guiding me. I want to tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will guide you. He will empower you. It is His heart to save those that are lost. All we need to do is make ourselves available. Amen. So come, I want us to stand in this place today. Let's stand up. I'm going to pray for us, and Ryan is going to come and he's going to take over from me. But I just want to pray this over us. Father, this morning, I want to thank You for every person in this place, Lord. I want to thank You, Lord, for what You've done in our lives. I want to thank You, Father, that You have absolutely changed our lives in this place, Lord. Now, help us, Lord. Show us those in great need. Show us those that need to hear our stories, Father. I thank You, Lord, that as You empower us, as You equip us to simply invite people to experience You, as we ask people to simply hear our story, I thank You that our story will liberate others, Father. Lord, I want to thank You for freedom. I want to thank You for cities changed, Father. I want to thank You for Your presence and Your anointing, Lord. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.